we need to look forward and understand where companies are going and not just where they've been in the past. So that's where climate targets come in. The report our Climate and Nature Innovation Lab recently released is analyzing exactly that. So we're looking into the quality, ambition, and performance of corporate emissions targets.
Welcome to The Greener Way. I'm your host, Michelle Baltazar, Executive Director of Media at FS Sustainability. We are recording on Gadigal land and we pay our respects to the traditional custodians of country and elders past, present, and emerging. Our regular guest, Julia Leskey, Managing Director and Senior Consultant at ISS Sustainability in Australia, is back with us on this episode to talk about the latest developments in emissions target setting. Do they really matter? Are there industries that do better than most? And most importantly, how can investors, including super funds, use the insights from this report to achieve their sustainability goals? Julia, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Great to be back.
Now, underpinning our podcast chat today is a new report released last month titled Beyond Companies' Emissions Target Setting, Tracking Decarbonization Performance. The link to this report will be in our show notes if you'd like to have a copy of it. But for now, let's unpack the report's highlights. First, Julia, can you give us a brief overview of what it is and why does it matter to look at the report findings today?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we're now in a world where investors are increasingly realizing that just measuring a company's carbon footprint is not enough. We need to look forward and understand where companies are going and not just where they've been in the past. So that's where climate targets come in. The report our Climate and Nature Innovation Lab recently released is analyzing exactly that. So we're looking into the quality, ambition, and performance of corporate emissions targets. And that's a crucial piece of work, especially where we see investors shift towards this more forward-looking assessment of climate risk and opportunity. What we can see is that target setting, you need to see that as a primary way for companies to signal their climate ambitions. But it's not just a simple yes or no question whether a company has a target. It's a little bit more nuanced around what a target covers, how ambitious it actually is, and whether a company is actually on track. So that's what the report is looking into.
Fantastic. I'm so happy that we have gone past the debate about, well, how do you measure it? We're now looking at, well, now that we can measure it, what do we do next? So what are the highlights, but also what are the challenges? So with these reports, there are always caveats as well about its limitations.
Yes. I mean, looking at climate targets sound really nice and simple and straightforward, a nice quantitative assessment of where you're going from this, from here to in the future. But it's a little bit like comparing apples to oranges, actually, it turns out. So one of the biggest hurdles when you start looking into different targets that have been set is that there's a really big diversity of different targets. So companies use different baselines, base years. So we're starting a target in 2020 or 2022 or 2019. It really depends on where the target starts. So from what year, base year, do you aim to reduce your emissions? We have different years. So what year do you want to achieve that target? And then we're looking into different scopes. So we're talking greenhouse gas emissions, where we have scope 1 emissions, scope 2 emissions, and scope 3 emissions. And these can be combined in different ways. So you can have a target that's a scope 1 target or a scope 2 target, or you can have a combined scope 1 and 2 target, or even a combined scope 1, 2, and 3 target. And then just to make it a little bit more complicated, companies can also set an absolute emissions target, so targets that relate to their total emissions that they actually emit, or an intensity-based emissions target that is relative to their production output, for example. So you can see that it's not just as easily as picking up the target, but there needs to be some baselining happening and sorting through the data. I mean, saying that, it's not necessarily a bad thing that companies have different targets. It's a really unique way of showing their own business model, their business cases, their realities around emissions reductions. There's a good case, and a lot of investor initiatives make that to set different types of targets, different timelines, become more ambitious over time, or have sort of more near-term and then mid-term and long-term targets, things like that. But then to be able to analyze it makes it harder. And so for us in the report, what the team did is we focused on the most imminent absolute emissions targets a company has set, because that gives us a good baseline to analyze what is actually happening currently with the most imminent targets. Another challenge that we have in the analysis that we see is if when we analyze, we for ease of analysis, we assume a linear adjustment to or achievement of the targets. So we're saying, okay, there's a linear reduction, but the reality in real life is often that it's a bumpy ride. So there might be companies that achieve very early on through easy wins, but then there's also that's then followed by slower progress. Or we have companies that rely on technologies that are not yet available, and they might then deliver delayed results. So it is really a question of, in the analysis, to also look beyond that basic trajectory. One of the things that can help within that analysis is to use complementary indicators or assessments alongside that target assessment process. And the report is suggesting things like signals around capital expenditure on green technologies, R&D investments, but also qualitative assessment of companies' business models and governance structures, for example.
So what I like about what you just said there about it, it's all very complicated. It's not comparing like for like, is that you're able to pin it down to say absolute emissions and what's imminent. Now, the report found that only 11% of companies within the scope of the research have targets on absolute emissions, but that in fact, it's 57% if you look at it from an enterprise value. So is 11%/57% a good number where we're at, or is there more room for improvement?
I mean, there's always more room for improvement, but I think what we've particularly seen is a real increase in targets being set over the last 3 years even. So later in the report, where we're assessing the progress against targets, the team is also looking over time into the number of target companies that have set targets over time. And we can see that there's a clear increase, especially when it comes to scope one and scope two targets. I believe the numbers is around 60%. And if we're seeing, looking at the scope three targets, we've actually had seen a doubling of scope three targets that have been set. I think it's sort of, you also need to see in terms of the value of companies tend to be the bigger companies, which also will correlate with larger emissions. So we are seeing greater disclosures, and we're expecting these disclosures to improve as well. But there's definitely always room for improvement.
Now, let's dig into some case studies. Can you give a couple of examples where target setting plays out differently depending on which industry you're in?
Yes. I mean, obviously, there's differences between different industries. One of the things the report has found is that utilities are leading on target setting, but it's a little bit more, it's a little bit of a complex picture at the same time. So we see that we have a high proportion of companies with at least some climate target within the utility sector. That sits around about 21%. And we also have around 10% that are addressing all three scopes. So scope one, two, and three in the targets. One of the interesting things is once you look into the company valuation, so it gets flipped around a little bit, and utilities are not don't represent such a big proportion of target set. And that's largely because of the fragmented value and regional disparities in the sector, and then also the related greenhouse gas emissions commitments and drivers that you see in different regions. When you look at financials and energy, you can see that targets exist, but there's a bit more to the story in terms of the depth of the targets. So we have a good target quantity for both of these sectors. But if you're looking into the energy sector, we can see that targets largely focus on scope one and two, which are in that sector really the easy wins. And it's really crucial to note that they're really the biggest part of the carbon footprint is still needing to be tackled. So we're talking about scope three. If you think about it, the energy sector, they're the extracting companies, and fossil fuels are still responsible for 90% of global emissions. So that is in the combustion of those fossil fuels, that's where it sits. So that is where the major risk sits, and that is currently not being very well addressed. If you look into financials, we see similar, a strong showing in the number of targets, but again, the inclusion of scope three, so the investments that are being made by the financial sectors, is still lacking. And this is really largely driven through the accounting complexities that we see. And this is really a key area to look out for in terms of genuine impact and commitments in relation to decarbonizing in future. Other sectors that are interesting are consumer discretionary IT and healthcare. They make up around about, if you look at the number of the universe, they're about 37% of the corporate issuers covered, but they're generally underrepresented in target setting. And an interesting case that we have is in the healthcare sector, where we have a small group of leading companies. So they're around about 7% of the sector, but they hold around 69% of the value in the sector. So there's a few companies that are very large and highly valued. And those companies actually seem to be demonstrating a strong commitment, although they're largely focused on their direct operations.
I can almost imagine a super fund executive listening to this podcast going, hang on, those are the sectors that we have a lot of exposure on, just in terms of utilities, as if people are really looking at a conservative outlook that we're heading for more recessionary signals in the next 12 months, utilities, and then you've got energy, you've got financials. So what I'm getting here is that there's certainly a mix of results at the moment. So with that in mind, where we're not really seeing consistencies, why do you think these targets matter?
Targets, as I said, they're important signal setters to start off with. It's also an important way that investors can assess the corporates we're investing in on track to where we need them to be. So targets will help investors can analyze within targets and with the help of targets to see whether or not a company, for example, is on track to a net zero pathway. So when the report looked into of companies that have set targets, where the targets, if we're projecting them out and saying, okay, just taking at face value, the target that a company has set, assuming they will achieve that target, let's extrapolate out now what the emissions will look like for these corporates. And what we're finding is that in this exercise, that for companies that have set targets, 60% of companies are aligned with a net zero pathway. Whereas if we compare that to corporates or without targets, we only find 30% of corporates on the pathway to net zero. So there seems to be, assuming that the targets are being set, they do play a crucial role in helping companies to achieve a net zero pathway.
So I can see that there's the alignment there.
Yes, there's at least increased alignment there, which sort of indicates that companies have a plan to decarbonize. Otherwise, you're assuming, okay, companies, of course, they're not going to continue to emit exactly the way they emitted historically, which often has been a trajectory of increased emissions. There are policy actions that are happening. Companies will be dragged along with that, with the sort of general environment and economic expectations. But we see, or our predictions are, that they will be tracking still way above a net zero pathway, whereas companies that have set active targets are more likely to be tracking in line with a net zero pathway.
I like that. So that it's not just a regulatory push. You can already see a direct link between spelling out your targets and the results. Once again, we've covered a lot of ground there, but what do you think are the key takeaways of the report?
There are lots of different ways that you can look at targets. So one of the key takeaways is definitely don't just look at if a target is set, but look at what does the target actually tell you. Focus on the scope of the targets. And then also it's very important to focus on scope three. I think one of the big takeaways is really looking into the scope three story, the quality of scope three targets, the way that you can assess them, and then also the materiality and the types of scope three emissions and targets that are being set. But it's also important to look beyond the targets. So assessing companies in relation to capital expenditure, R&D investments and governance structures to contextualize the targets that you have is really important, and to understand the business models and where companies are taking are going in the future. And that really brings me to the one size fits all judgments are always difficult. It is important to have a high level analysis. And I think this report is doing a really good job in contextualizing, understanding where targets are sitting. But then it really comes back to company by company analysis as well and going from there. I think we can really see that investors are moving beyond simply identifying companies and really wanting to assess the progress towards achieving those targets.
Well said. Julia, like I said, we've covered a lot of ground there, but the key thing is that we now have a report that we can look at that has revealed the scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3 differences in terms of the company results. And that it's about having the targets and looking beyond it. So thank you for joining us and explaining the report to us today.
Thank you so much.
This is The Greener Way. I'm your host, Michelle Baltazar. Thank you for listening.
The Greener Way podcast is a product of FS Sustainability. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, legal, or tax advice. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement, and if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the FS Sustainability website, fssustainability.com.au.